Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Nun Gimel. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Beis, continuing here in the second paragraph of the Masechta. And we are going to be discussing today items of Kiddusha and whether or not you could be Mekadosh with items of Kiddusha. Somewhat ironic, you're being Mekadosh with items of Kiddusha, but everyone here understand, as we are well into the Masechta at this point in time. So we all know that to be Mekadosh a woman, so you have to use something of value. You have to use an asset. It has to be Kesef. Or Shava Kesef, it doesn't have to actually be money, it could be something equivalent to money, it has to have value. So you take that item of value, they take that asset, and you give it over to the woman, you say, all right, Mekudeshesli. Simple formula for how to get into the first stage of marriage, into Kiddushin. So over here, over the course of today's daf, what we're going to be discussing is that you're using something which is an asset, but extraordinarily limited and extraordinarily restricted in terms of what you could do with it. So let's get underway. Mekadesh Bechelko. So let's say a Kohen receives an allocation of carbon. Okay, Cohen goes into the Beis Hamikdash and is entitled to certain carbonos. There is an entire system in which the Kohanim are going to be operating in the Beis Hamikdash and receiving carbonos. We're not going to go through the entire system right now. Right, it's an extensive system, an intricate system. But right now, all we need to know is that he received a chelek, he received a portion. And and it doesn't matter what degree, what level of carbon we're talking about. It could be under the category of kachi kachim, which is the Kohen, if he receives a portion of that, so it's a piece of meat, mamish, it's a piece of meat, and he goes over to a woman and says haray and mekudeshes li be carbon zoo, so the kedushin doesn't take effect. And the same thing would be true even by kachim kalim. Kashim Kalim Cohen also is going to be receiving portions of a carbon toad, the carbon shlamim. The chaz of a shok of those carbonas go over to the Kohen, and he goes over to a woman, and he tries to be Mekadosh with her. The Kedushin does not take effect. Why? In other words, that was his portion. Why can't he use it? In other words, why don't we consider it to be an asset, a value? So the answer is actually, the explanation is very simple. It's not his. In other words, in order to be Mekadosh, you have to be Mekadosh with something that belongs to you. This does not belong to the Kohen. Now, granted, he received a portion, but that portion is his, Mishulchan Gavoa. It's coming from, quote-unquote, God's table. In other words, he is given a right to go ahead and eat it, but it's a right, it's not an ownership. And so as a result of that, he does not have the ability to be Mekadosh with it, because rule number one regarding Kiddushin, Kiddusha Kesef, is that you have to give something of yours to the woman. This does not belong to him. Meister Sheni, Ben Bishok Ben Memezit Lo Kidesh Div Rabbi Meir. Now, as far as Meister Sheni is concerned, we all know we go through the schedule time and again of the annual tithings, and so you have first Truma Gedola, then you have Meister Rishon, and then you have, it depends on what year it is. So in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, it's Meister Sheni, and in years 3 and 6, it's Meister Ani. Over here, we're describing Meister Sheni. So Meister Sheni, who is it allocated to? So the answer is nobody. You get to keep it. But story's not over there. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. That's going to be very difficult, very challenging. What you could do is you could be poda it onto money, then hold on to the money when next time you go to Yerushalayim, take the money with you, and spend the money in Yerushalayim on any food that you want. Notable exceptions. And that food now is going to be having the Kedusha of Meister Sheni, and you're eating it now in Yerushalayim. So over here, you have Meister Sheni, and whether or not you could be Mekadosh woman with Meister Sheni, subject to Amachlokis HaTanayim. So according to Rav Meir, which we just read, so Bein Bishogi Bein Memezid Lo Kidesh. You cannot be Mekadosh woman with Meister Sheni. Stay tuned later today, tomorrow. We're going to go over the explanation in terms of why. Rav Yehuda Amar Bishogi Lo Kidesh Memezid Kidesh, and Rav Yehuda makes a distinction between Shogeg versus Mezid. If you did so b'shogeg, you didn't realize at the time that it was Meister Sheni. So the Kiddushin does not take effect, but b'mezid Kiddush. But if you do so intentionally, you're Mekadosh. That also demands an explanation, but please wait. We're going to get to the explanation, again, end of today's daf, tomorrow's daf. So m'nema masis in deloka Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So over here, we are now discussing and describing the beginning of the Mishnah, the Karbanos, and in the beginning of the Mishnah, we learned that if you're Mekadosh b'Karbanos, a Kohen received an allocation of carbon, bein b'kashi kashim, bein b'kashim kalim, so the Kedushin does not take effect. The Gemara says, our Mishnah, presumably, is not going like Rav Yosi Aglili d'Tanya, umal amal ba'ashem. So the Larabos kashim kalim. So over here, this drasha that we are discussing is regarding Shavuos HaPikadon. Shavuos and Bikadon, you were watched to, you were asked to be a shomer, entrusted to watch somebody's item. And then what happens is that the person, the owner, comes back to retain his item. Thank you very much for your services. Can I have it back? And you simply say, look, I don't know what happened to it. Let's say the discussion over here is the shomer chinam. So if the item was lost or stolen, so you are going to be exempt. You do not have liability. And you explain to the person, look, I'm sorry, I don't have it. Well, really? Well, you have to make a shvua, and you make a shvua. And now after making a shvua, your conscience gets the better of you, because the truth of the matter is that whatever the case is, it wasn't lost, it wasn't stolen, right? It was because of your irresponsibility, so the item is no longer there. So you made a shvua, and you swore falsely. Under those circumstances, you now need to bring a karban. Obviously, you have to make full restitution, and you have to bring a karban as well. This is what's called the Shvuas HaPikadon. Over your Shvuas HaPikadon, it kicks in when you are asked to watch an item that belongs to another person. Over here, according to this drasha, Uma'ala Ma'al Bahashem, so Lerabos Kashim. So I'm sorry, Kashim Kalam. So what we're looking to do over here is to include even Kashim Kalam. Which means that if a Kohen goes over to you and says, here, I got to go away for a minute, right? The Kohen received a portion of Kashim Kalim. In other words, he has Shlamim. He got the Chazav Veshoka Veshlamim. And then he just needed somebody to watch it for a minute, for a day, whatever the case is. I mean, it's meat. It doesn't last that long. And the Kohen goes away. The Kohen comes back. Where is it? I don't know. Make a Shvua, et cetera, et cetera. So over there, the Shvua Sabikadon is going to kick in over there. Why Shehein Ma Mono Divrav Yose Aglili? Now, Shavuos HaBikadon is where you were entrusted to watch an item that belonged to somebody, and you swore that you no longer have the item. What comes out over here is that in this Braisa, the Kachim Kalim falls under the category of ownership. In other words, if there's going to be a Shavuos HaBikadon by Kachim Kalim, that means Kachim Kalim actually belongs to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, "Afilu temer Rav Yosef Glili, kikamer Rav Yosef Glili, mechaim avalach reshchit alo. My time to kikah zachem mishochen gavol kazachem." So the Gemara says that don't get confused. This brisa is a little bit confusing. Don't get confused. Our Mishnah and this brisa that we learned together are both talking about kashim kalim, but not at the same state, not the same time period. The brisa that we just learned together regarding kashim kalim. So that's talking about mechayim. It's talking about while the animal is alive, meaning before you shechted the animal. So in other words, so kachim kalim is in fact mamono. It is in fact it belongs to the owner. So in other words, the description I gave moments earlier is not the correct way to understand the brisa. The brisa was not talking about an allocation of chaz v'shok that was given to the kohen, but rather it's talking about kachim kalim that you and I dedicated as a karban. But in other words, but before it's actually shechted, who does it belong to? Belongs to me. I am the owner of that karban. Yeah, right? It's unusual language. We usually don't talk like that. But when it comes to a shlamim, when it comes to karban toda, and before it's shechted, so I am the owner of that animal. I entrust somebody else to watch the animal, and he loses it or whatever. In other words, he was irresponsible. He doesn't have it anymore. And now I demand it back, and he makes a shvua. So over there, it is under the rubric of Shavuos HaPikadon. However, the Armish is talking about after the animal was shechted. After the animal was shechted, now you're going to take a portion of the animal, chaz v'shok, give it to the Kohen. That is Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. In other words, that is not below, those portions that are given to the Kohen are not the Kohen's. He has the right to eat it, but he's eating it off the table of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it's not the Kohen's. In fact, if you carefully read the Mishnah, you see that that's really what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying, "I'm a kaddish bichelko, his chelik, his portion." In other words, our Mishnah is talking about chazav v'shok. The Brisa, on the other hand, is not talking about a portion. The Brisa is talking about the entire animal, i.e., the animal that belongs to the owner of the animal who was makdish. Good. Adkan. So far we have just a little more clarity on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a Kohen that's Mekadesh with his Chelek of, doesn't matter whether it's a Kashim Kashim or Kashim Kalim, so the Kedushin does not take effect because it does not belong to him. It's really that simple. And as far as the Brisa is concerned, the Brisa was talking about a Shlamim before it was Shechted, and it was talking about the relationship of the owner to the Shlamim, not the Kohen to the Shlamim. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara now continues with a with an interesting intro. La'achim p'tira social Rabbi Meir passed away. Amalam Rabbi Yehuda l'tami davster Rabbi Yehuda says the following to his students, Al yikansu, tamid Rabbi Meir l'kan, mimnei shekantarnim heim. V'lolim odivrei Torah heim ba'im, ela l'kapcheni b'hilchos heim ba'im. Okay, so do me a favor. What's gonna happen now is that Rabbi Meir's students are gonna look for a new Rebbe, a new shir to go to. Students of Rabbi Meir passed away. Rabbi Meir, where are we in terms of the tkufa, in terms of the general history? So Rabbi Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva saw the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva lived into the second century. And now, so we're talking about the students, so we're somewhere within the second century, approximately. And the and Rabbi Meir passes away, so we are basically rounding to the end of the tkufa of the Tanayim. Right? We're here by Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, over here is Rabbi Yehuda Eli. So we're at the end of the Tanayim tkufa. And so basically the following discussion ensued. Really interesting, by the way, because the discussion is going to revolve around Karbanos. And at that point in time, there have not been Karbanos for some time. But anyway. So so Rabbi Meir passes away, and Rabbi Yehuda gives very clear instructions to his students, to his Rabbi Yehuda students, and that is, look, Rabbi Meir's students are going to be looking for a new Rebbe, a new Shir. Don't let them come in here. Now, that's a little bit strange, by the way. Normally, you invite people to come learn Torah. You don't basically ban and bar them and restrict them from learning Torah. That is a little bit strange. But over here, the Braisa tells us very clearly what the thought process of Rabbi Yehuda is. They're not interested in actual learning. What they're interested in is just coming to argue and be quarrelsome. Okay? So, obviously, there's more behind the story over here. We're only given just a line of Gemara. So, but nevertheless, they were existing in that kind of relationship. Dachat simchos v'nechnas amr lehem kach shanali Rebbe Meir mekash b'chelko bein kachim bein kachim kan lo kidesh. So simchos now pushes his way in, meaning that he was a talmid of Rebbe Meir, and we know simchos is not just a talmid of Rebbe Meir, but really a talmid muvak. In other words, better, Rebbe Meir was a Rebbe muvak of simchos. And so Simchas somehow got into the shir. And even though Rabbi Yehuda didn't want him there, and Simchas said to Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Rabbi Meir taught me. And basically quoted our Mishnah. So cause Rabbi Yehuda Alayim Amr Alayim Lo Kacha Amar Telechem Ali Kansumi Tami De Rabbi Meir Lekam Mishah Kantarnim Him V'lo Loma Torah Him Bayim Ela Kap Chere Balachus Him Bayim. So Rabbi Yehuda told his students, I asked you not to allow the students of America to come in. I don't understand how he got in here, and not just any student, but it happens to be Simchas, right? In other words, he is like student number one. Like, how did you let him in here? And look what he's doing. He's quoting. Now, it's funny, by the way, because from our perspective, what is he doing? He's quoting a Mishnah, right? In other words, quoting a Mishnah is not controversial. So obviously at the time, meaning at this time between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, so all the Mishnayos were not set in stone, and we know that Stam Mishnah is Karebi Meir, meaning it's... Right, to our ears, when Rav Meir is quoting the Mishnah, in this case, the student of Rav Meir is quoting the Mishnah, it sounds right, because that's our Mishnah. Right, but we have the perspective of hindsight, and so therefore for us, this Mishnah is going to sound perfect. But in other words, at the time, however, this was obviously a point of controversy. And so Rav Yehuda is hearing the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda is saying that Mishnah is ridiculous. Now, I can't say that, you can't say that, but Rav Yehuda can. He has the right to do so, and he does say so. And why is the Mishnah ridiculous? Meaning, we're having a discussion over here whether or not a Kohen could be Mekadesh, a woman, using carbon allocations that were given to him. And over here, Rav Yehuda says, V'chi Isha b'Azara Minayin. What's a woman doing in the Azara? Right? Women don't belong in the Azara. Now over here, I say women don't belong in the Azara. What does that mean exactly? So look at Rashi over here. Rashi starts the bottom of the Amud. Like 6-7 lines from the bottom, Diktani Kachi Kadashim Arem Yotzim Chutz Lazara Afil Lazos Nashim Heim Niv Salim Bi Yotze V'Nashim Ein Nichnasos La. So a couple things in order to understand this Rashi. Number one, when focusing on the Kachi Kachim Chatas and Asham, so they can be eaten by Zichrei Kahuna, but only in the Azara. They can't be taken out of the Azara. Once they're taken out of the Azara, they're going to be pasul. The psul is called Yotzei. That's a disqualification of that carbon. So in other words, so step number one in this Rashi, is that Chatas Asham cannot be taken outside of the Azar. Step number two, says Rashi, Nashim Nechnasim Lakit Nam Bavasatumas Barakama the Maseches Kalim. We know that women do not go into the Azara. Now, the way Rashi seems to say, women can't go into the Azara. Now, Rashi is not terribly clear about this point, but that's what it sounds like when you read Rashi. Anyway, so the way Rashi understands it is that the carbon, the kachikashim can't leave the Azara, and women can't enter into the Azara. And so, therefore, how are you ever going to have a circumstance in where a kohen is going to be mekadesh a woman using Kachi Kachim. They can't be in the same place. The Kohen with his Asham and Chatas have to be in the Azara and are restricted to the Azara, and a woman is not allowed entrance into the Azara. So how is that ever going to happen? Okay. You see Tosus over here. I'm not going to go through it inside. Tosus does not like the way I just presented Rashi. Right? It sounds like I presented Rashi correctly. Tosus does not like it. Tosus offers a different explanation. See Tosus over here. Tosus Vichi Isha Bazar Minayin. Anyway, but we're going to go on in the Gemara. So, Amar Rav Yossi, Yomru. So, Rav Yossi was really struck by the whole scene. Meaning, what's happening over here? Rav Yehuda did not want any one of Rav Meir's students to enter. Simchas enters and asks a question on the way Simchas doesn't ask a question. Simchas presents our Mishnah as Rabbi Meir would present our Mishnah, but Rav Yehuda says that's a ridiculous way to present the Mishnah because you can't have the carbon and the woman in the same location. And Rav Yehuda is just stumped by the way Rav Meir is presenting the Mishnah. And so over here, we're at loggerheads. And Rav Yossi is noticing the whole situation. Yomru, what are the students going to say? Meaning, look, think about it from the perspective of the students. Meir Shachar, Rabbi Meir passed away. Yehuda Kaas. And Rav Yehuda is now getting angry. And Yossi Shasak, and what I should do is I should be quiet? In other words, the students are really not going to understand. They're going to be so confused by the scene at large. So, divrei Torah matehei alaha. And meanwhile, over here, we all have one goal, and that is to give clarity to Torah. In other words, we want to give a clear voice to Torah. And so, over here, the students are going to get so confused. Like, this is Torah. So, v'chi ein adam asu lekabel kiddushin lebito ba'azara, ve'in isha asu la'asos la'shlech lekabel kiddushin ba'azara. So, first of all, Rav Yossi says that Rav Meir's presentation over here is perfectly fine. In other words, what's your problem? Your problem is that the woman can't go into the Azara. So what? She can get either her father, if she's a katana, or she can get a representative, otherwise known as a shliach, and send that person, in other words, that's a male, and send that person into the Azara. So over here, it's not such a struggle to try to figure out our Mishnah. On top of that, look, in other words, a woman can't go into the Azara. And what if she goes in? What if she pushes her way in? You know what then happens? She's in the Azara. Okay. So, Rabbi Yossi now, in defense of the girsa of our Mishnah, according to Rav Meir, would say it's not ridiculous. It's not a crazy girsa. It makes sense. We can have ways in which a woman can be in the Azara or send a representative into the Azara in order for her to be mekadesh with kashe kachim. Okay, Tanya, right? Really interesting exchange that we just went through over there at the end of yesterday's daf, right? Meaning the high drama, but when all said and done, what do? It's not a small thing, but all we did is just simply substantiate the girsa of our Mishnah. Okay. Tanya. We learned the following brice, Rabbi Yehuda Amrei Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yossi Amrei Mekudeshes. Okay, so again, we're revisiting the question of whether or not a Kohen could be Mekadesh with his Chelek. He was given a portion of the carbon, he goes over to a woman, he wants to be Mekadesh a woman with that carbon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mikudeshes, according to Rabbi Yossi, Eina Mikudeshes. So Machlokis amongst the Tanaim, whether or not the Kedushin is in fact affected or not affected. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kedushin is affected. So, and according to Rabbi Yossi, the Kedushin is Eino Chal, Eino Kedushin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Shnei Mikra Echadarsha. They're both arriving at this based on the same Pasuk in Parshat Korach. The pasuk says, "V'zeh yelecha mikodesh hakadoshim min ha'esh." So this is going to be for you, mikodesh hakadoshim, from the fire. Now, Rav Yehuda Savar lecha. Now, when the word lecha comes in the pasuk, so lecha means it's yours. So lechol tzarchecha, and that means to say that the kohen has ownership of it. It's not just an allocation where the kohen has a right to eat it, but rather it belongs to the Kohen. He could do with it as he wants, i.e., he's the owner of it, i.e., he could be Mekadesh a woman with it. And Rabbi Yossi Savar, Ke'esh, Ma'esh La'achila, Af Hu Nami La'achila. And Rabbi Yossi says, I'm also looking at the same pasuk, but I'm not focusing on the lacha, I'm focusing on the word Eish. Right? The pasuk reads, Zeh Yelacha Mikodesh HaKadoshim Min Ha'esh. And it's coming from the fire. Now, from the fire, what comes off from the fire? That which I can eat. The only thing the Kohen can do with his chelek is only eat it. He can't. It's not his. He does not have ownership on it. Amar Rav Yochanan Nimnu V'Gamru. Hamekadesh Bechelko. So over here, so in our mission, we were only given one viewpoint. In the Brisa we just learned together, we were given two different viewpoints. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda says that according to Mekadesh Bechelek, the Kedushin works. According to Rabbi Yossi, Mekadesh Bechelko, the Kedushin does not work. Our Mishnah is siding with Rav Yossi. Where do we stand on this issue? We're on the very top of Negem Lamed Aleph, Nimnu V'Gamru. So they had to take a vote. Okay. Again, I'm just observing over here that the vote that we're having as to whether or not a Kohen can be Mekadesh with his carbon, with the Chelek of carbon that was given to him, so this vote is occurring well after Churban Beis HaMikdash. In other words, there were no karbanos anymore. So it's just, I'm asking a simple question. It's more of an observation, meaning how are they having such a heated and a vote on a topic that is no longer has relevancy at the time, right? You become a mikdash with the carbon, and meanwhile, there were no avoda, there were no karbanos. Okay. Anyway, but they voted. So nimnu v'gamra mikdash bechalka bein kashakashim bein kashakadim kashim lo kidesh. Okay. So according to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan's version is that the matter came to a vote, and the vote all ended up with einan kedushin lo kidesh. The woman is not mekudeshet. The chelek does not belong to the kohen. He is not the owner of the chelek. He just has the right to eat it, and therefore the kedushin does not take effect. Rav Amar adayin he machlokas, and according to Rav, it's still a machlokas. Okay, so so we have basically now a machlokas amaraim as to whether or not the machlokas tanaim has come to a conclusion or it perpetuates. It continues now. According to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda had charata. He had chazara, meaning that as far as the chalukas hakashim is concerned, so it is at least according to Rav Yochanan, it is now a davar muskam. It is something of a point of agreement that the chalik is not owned by the kohen, but rather he just has the right to eat it, but it's not his. Therefore, he cannot be mekadesh. Okay. Amar Abai kavasi to Rav Yochanan mistarbe detanya. So over here, Abai is going to make now the following argument. This is going to be a long argument. We're going to go through a lengthy brisa right now. But in other words, but before we get involved in the brisa, just everyone zoom in on what our point is. And that is that all we're going to show from the brisa is that according to Rav Yehuda, the chelek that's given to the Kohen is not his. And therefore, he cannot be Mekadesh. And here comes the important part. The author of this brisa is Rav Yehuda. Nowhere in the Brisa are we going to hear the words Rabbi Yehuda. That's only going to come at the end after we go through the Brisa. We're going to identify the author of the Brisa being Rabbi Yehuda. But the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And the chelek of the karbonos that are given to the Kohen are not his. Only he has the right to eat it. And therefore you see that Rabbi Yochanan's right. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? That Rabbi Yehuda had charat. He had chazara. He eventually recanted and rescinded his position that a Kohen can be Mekadesh. And he took the position that Kohen cannot be Mekadesh. Amar Abai Kavasa de Rav Yochanan Mistabra Ditanya. So here we go. We start off. Everyone settle in. We're going to be in this Brisa for a couple of minutes. Brisa happens to be not particularly complicated, but just a lot of details. Now, as far as distributions are concerned, once the Kohen receives a distribution, so he can't make any kind of trades. He can't barter. Menachos keneged zvachim. Let's say he was given a mincha, right? That's the carbs. And now he's not interested in carbs, but he's interested in protein. He wants zevach. So how do I know that he cannot barter? So, tamalamar v'chol mincha asher te'afeh b'tanor l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. So it is going to go to the b'nei Aaron. Yachol lo yichalku menachos keneged zvachim. So I might have thought that I'm sorry. So number one, is that the mincha is its own separate category. So what you cannot do is that you cannot take a mincha and barter and exchange it for zevach, for carbon. Now, yachol lo yichal k'menachos k'neged zevachim shelo kamutachte emedalos. So the Gemara says like this. Look, I understand how it is that I cannot barter mincha and zevach. In other words, because a mincha never comes as a replacement for a zevach. Aval yichal k'menachos k'neged ofer sharei kamutachte emedalos. But maybe, let's say a Kohen has not red meat, but he's got white meat. He's got bird. Okay, in other words, how is a Kohen going to be receiving a distribution of bird? Very simple. Birds are brought as a carbon. Birds can only come in the form of either an ola or a chatas. Well, an ola is totally burnt, so there's nothing to discuss regarding the carbon ola, but there's what to discuss regarding carbon chatas, and that is a chatas of is going to be given to the Kohen where the Kohen is not going to eat it. So the Kohen can't sit down to a dinner of bird, and now he's not interested in the bird. He wants to exchange it for a mincha. Maybe that's a fair exchange because, you know, a mincha will come as a substitution for ofos when a person is poor. So in limited number of karbanos, again, there's so many details over here, I'm not going over all the details, but in a limited number of karbanos, in the event that the person is strapped for cash, so he falls under the threshold of being poor, so then what he could do is that instead of bringing an of, he could bring a mincha. Mincha obviously being a cheaper karban. So the Marcheshes over here is one of the type of the Menachos, and the fact that the Torah has to articulate Marcheshes by itself is there to tell me that the Marcheshes is its own separate category. A barter and exchange cannot be made between a mincha and an oath. So Yachol Yichalko Menachos Keneged Ofes Shalalu Minei Damim V'Halalu Minei Kamachim Ava Yichalko Ofes Keneged Zvachim Shalalu V'Halalu Minei Damim. Okay, so look, I understand now mincha and oaf cannot be exchanged one for the other. Mincha is a flower, and an oaf obviously is a bird. In other words, it's got blood. So really two different categories. However, ofos keneged zevachim, birds versus zevach, maybe an exchange can be made between birds versus zevach. They're both minei damim. They're both animals that are going to be shechted. So tam alamra, amachavas. Amachavas is extra, it's extraneous, and that comes to tell me that no, that even such an exchange cannot be made. Yachol yichalko ofes keneged zvachim shalal maaseihem biyad v'alal maaseihem b'kli. Ava yichalko menachos keneged menachos shalal v'alal maaseihem biyad. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand that you can't make an exchange between birds and animals. Animals are shechted with a knife. Birds are shechted with your hand. Right? The Kohen takes a thumbnail, presses it into the neck of the bird in order to shech the bird. It's called malika. But they're so different than the way they're prepared. But in other words, maybe you can make an exchange between one type of mincha and another type of mincha. Tamalamer v'chol mincha belula b'shemen l'chol b'nei Aharon. So once again, we have an extraneous pasuk in this parsha describing a mincha belula b'shemen, right? That it's saturated in oil, mixed with oil. So yacholo yichalku machavas keneged marcheshes. So the Gemara says, look, maybe making an exchange between machavas and marcheshes, those are different types of menachos. So marcheshes keneged machveshes, zu maaseihem rakim, v'zu maaseihem kashim. The marcheshes is deep dish. It's soft. The machvas, flat. It's like a griddle. And what comes out is something that is much crispier. So I understand now that they're categorically different. They look different textures, and so therefore they cannot be exchanged. Ava yichalko machvas keneged machvas, u marcheshes keneged marcheshes, sha'alala va'alala maaseihem kashim, inami maaseihem rakim. But maybe an exchange can be made between marcheshes, marcheshes, meaning one Kohen is sitting and eating his marcheshes. Another Kohen was allocated another marcheshes from another person. So maybe over here, they can exchange their marcheshes. So, Tamalamar, v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aharon tiya. The word chareva, once again, is extraneous, and it allows for drasha, and that is, even such an exchange is going to be banned. Now, yachol yichalka b'kodesh hakadoshim, ava yichalka b'kashim kalim. Okay, so that was a long run-on sentence that all arrived at one simple point. A Kohen is given a distribution of anything which falls under the category of kodesh hakadoshim. We just went over every different permutation of kodesh hakadoshim. A mincha, a chatas ha'of, a chatas and an asham of a behema. So those are all different examples of kachi kadashim. And what we took a couple of minutes to say is no exchanges. A Kohen cannot barter between him and another Kohen on any distribution that was given to him of Kachim Kadashim. Now we move on to Kachim Kalim. Maybe there can be a Chaluka. Maybe there can be a barter in exchange of Kachim Kalim. So Tamalama Ishka Achiv V'Samech Lei Im Al Toda. Kishim Shein Cholkin B'Kachim Kachim Kachin Cholkin B'Kachim Kalim. You cannot do exchanges neither on Kachim nor on Kachim Kalim. It's based on what seems to be Smichas Aparshios. So, here we are at the end of the Braisa. The Pasuk goes on to say, the Gemara only quotes the word Ish, the Pasuk, L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh Ish ke'achiv, Ish cholek afilu ba'mum, v'ina katan cholek va'afilu tam. In terms of getting a distribution, as long as you're a Kohen, you get the distribution. Let's say you're a Kohen ba'mum, you're blemished, you can't do the avoda, you're still entitled to a distribution. But the word Ish is coming to exclude a minor, a katan. A katan does not receive a distribution. So Shema Mina. Comes out from all this is that no barters, no exchanges can be made between one Kohen and another Kohen on any of the allocations that they receive, whether it be Kachay Kachim or whether they be Kachim Kalam. Now, we're almost done. Sam Sifra Mani Rabbi Yehuda Vuhukamar Deleis Ba Din Chaluka Klal Shmamina. Okay, and now just to tie everything up here in a bow, the author of this Braisa. So the Braisa that we just quoted is the Sifra. Anytime that we're quoting a Braisa, the Gemara assumes that we know what kind of Braisa is it. It's either just simply a Braisa, meaning a Tanaitic text that didn't make its way into the Mishnah. Alternatively, what a Braisa, the Braisa we could be quoting from is one of the Medrashei Halacha. Sifra, Sifrei. Okay, so over here it happens to be Sifra. So we're quoting over here from Sifra, right? It's the Pesukim that we quoted are all in Vayikra. I don't think I stated that once yet. I just did. So anyway, so obviously the Medrashei Halacha that's commenting on it is going to be the Sifra, right? Numerous times over here recently we went over this important information. And that is that the Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, and Sefer Vayikra. And Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar Dvarim. Okay? There is no Medrash Halacha on Sefer Bereishis because there is no Halacha in Bereishis. Now, I say that knowing that there is some Halacha from Bereishis, but in other words, not enough that an entire Medrash is going to be dedicated to the to Bereishis. And Shmos, there is a Medrash, and Shmos is called the Mechilta. Anyway. What comes out over here is that what we just did is we quoted the Sifra, and we know, we have a rule, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. That when you have anonymous citations of Sifra, so the default assignment is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Sifra. Comes out over here is that we just quoted a passage of Sifra, we know the author is Rabbi Yehuda, and we just learned together that there can be no bartering between one Kohen and another on any distribution that he received. And do you know why? It's very simple. It doesn't belong to the Kohen. He has a right to eat it, but that's it. It doesn't belong to him. And because it doesn't belong to him, he can't exchange, he can't barter, period. End of discussion. Now, what also comes out from all of the above is that if the Kohen is going to attempt to be Mekadosh a woman with that distribution, with that allocation, it simply doesn't work. It does not work, period. Oh, okay, fine. And so... This is all going to be to Rabbi Yochanan's point. What was Rabbi Yochanan's point? That although at one point Rabbi Yehuda was of the position that the Kedushin does work, Rabbi Yehuda recanted from that position, and here's the evidence. I quoted Sifra, Stam Sifra to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that the distribution, the allocation given to the Kohen, is not his. Amar Rav Ucharav Milo Tanya V'atanya. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. I'm going to now support Rav. Now, Rav's of the position that Rabbi Yehuda never recanted his position. How do I know that? We have the following brace of Atanya. Atznuin, Moshchin es yedehem. V'argargarim cholkim. Now, this is a discussion regarding the lechem upon him during Bayis Sheni, where after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, so the lechem upon him no longer satiated. Okay? The Gemara in Yuma goes over this information in much more detail. All I did was just, I gave a really rough sketch. Anyway, so over here, when there was not enough lechem upon him for the mishmar, so what do you do? In other words, just look at any kiddush and you'll see people are running into to get a piece of kugel. Okay. Anyway, you can definitely hear in my voice how I feel about that. But anyway, so anyway, so the, as far as the lechem upon him are concerned, the Kohanim and the Mishmar, So for those Kohanim who did not feel like fighting for a small piece of the Lechem upon him, so they didn't. And that's the Tznuim Moshchin Es Yadehem. So those Kohanim who were, you know, of a, you know, so somewhat more refined, have you know, really developed and refined their character traits. So what they would do is Moshech Es Yadehem. They would rescind, they would retract. And as far as the Gargarim was concerned, the Kohanim that were more gluttonous, so they would push their way in order to eat the Lechem upon him. Now, by the way, the eating of the Lechem upon him is a mitzvah. So over here, the Kohanim will push their way in. So in other words, I know I'm somewhat making it sound like, you know, in other words, it's not proper, it's not appropriate, but I'm perhaps not doing a great job because they are eating Lechem upon him. It is a mitzvah. Anyway, but the point is over here is that they would be chulkin. What does that sound like? It sounds like they would take, exchange, barter. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. My chulkin, chotfin. No, chulkin over here does not mean that they would exchange and barter, but rather chulkin is to be understood like chotef, they're grabbing. Kediktani seifa maitha becha shechatav chalko v'chelek chaver v'ayukorno so ben chamtsan ayom noso. Over here, it's clear that the word chulkin means grabbing. Look contextually at the end of the braisa. There was one of the Kohanim who not only took his chelek, but he took his friend's chelek, and they would call him Ben Chamtsan. In other words, he was somebody who was a... In other words, Chamtsan sounds like Chamtsan with a samich. In other words, he was a bit of an extortionist. And they would call them Ad Yom Oso. I'm a rabbi by Rav Shila Maikra, Elokai, Paltene Miad Rasha, Mikaf Ma'avel V'chomets, Rav Amram Yacha, Limdu Heitev, Dirshu Mishpat, Ashru Chamutz. Okay, the Gemara quotes a couple of psukim that speak to this idea that the word chometz means to grab, to take something that you shouldn't be grabbing, you shouldn't be taking. Anyway, good, from all of the above, so basically the Gemara seems to be signing more on team Rav Yochanan and not team Rav. Rav Yochanan's position is that although at one point in his life Rav Yehuda said that your Kohen's Mekadosh with the Chelek of Karbanos, Kachim Kalim, the Kedushin does take effect. That was a viewpoint of Rav Yehuda earlier in his life. Eventually, Nimnu V'Gamru, the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, today's daf, is that there was a vote that occurred, and in that vote, according to Rav Yochanan, everyone finally conceded and concluded and agreed to the fact that these distributions of carbon do not belong to the Kohen, but rather he has the right to eat it. It's Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Okay, we are continuing in the Gemara. We are on the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Meister Shani ben Beshogeg ben Bemeze Lo Kiddush Evrei Mimei Rav Yehuda Omer Shogeg Lo Kiddush Meze Kiddush. Okay. Our next topic for today, which is going to finish up our daf today, and we are going to continue this obviously into tomorrow's daf, but the Menah HaNimili. How do I know? The Gemara now is going to be citing a source for Rabbi Meir, that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. Maaser Sheni, so it's 10%. Again, I went over the schedule earlier this morning. So it's that second 10% that's taken off in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. Brought to Yerushalayim, eaten in Yerushalayim. So whose is it? Who does it belong to? According to Rav Meir, Mamon Gavoa. And therefore, it does not belong to you. You just have a right to eat it. Amar Vacha Bereda Rav Mishmei Degmar Vachol Maaser Haaretz. Mi zera haaretz mi pri ha'etz la Hashem. So la Hashem hu kodesh la Hashem. So la Hashem hu velo lekadosh bo isha. Okay. So over here we're in Parshas Bechukosai. All the meiser haaretz, whether it comes from zera haaretz, whether it comes from pri ha'etz, so it's la Hashem kodesh la Hashem. So it belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means to say that you are not the owner of it. You just simply have the right to eat it. And as a result of that, you cannot be Mekadosh a woman with it. So, Harei Trumas Maiser Dichtiv Kentarimu Gam Atem Trumas Hashem. So the Gemara says, okay, by Trumas Maiser, so seemingly we have the same string of psukim and key words. Kentarimu Gam Atem Gam Trumas Hashem. Tanana Mekadosh B'Truma Mikudeshes. Now, according to Mekadosh B'Truma, it works. Now, I don't understand. By Maiser Sheni, so we had coded words that told us that you're not the owner of it, but rather it belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have simply the right to eat it. Seemingly, we have the same string of words together by Truma, and a kohen can be mekadesh using truma. So I don't understand. The Gemara says, I'll try to explain. So delok siv be la Hashem. By truma, you don't have the expression la Hashem. Varei chaladich siv ba titnu la Hashem utana mekadesh betruma mekadeshes. So the Gemara says, now chala, which falls under the same category of truma, and therefore a kohen can be mekadesh with chala, but meanwhile, the psukim, when describing chala, has the words la Hashem. So the Gemara says, delok siv be kodesh. Yeah, but it's not, the string of words that we're looking for is not only la Hashem, but also kodesh. And you don't have that by chala. Varei shvias tichsiv be yovel hi kodesh tiyel lachem. Utenan mekadesh beper shvias mekudeshes, delok siv be la Hashem. So the Gemara says, what about Shvias? We have the word Kodesh. It's true, but you don't have the word La Hashem by Shvias. So the Gemara says, V'arei Truma, Dichtiv Kodesh Yisrael La Hashem, Ereshis Tvuasa. So the Gemara says, by Truma, you have the word Kodesh and you have the word La Hashem. And Tanana, Mekash B'Truma, Mekudeshes. So the Gemara says, Hahu B'Yisrael Ksiv. In other words, when it says Kodesh La Hashem, they are holy. It's not a description of Truma, but rather, Kodesh LaHashem is a description of the Jewish people, holy like Truma. And it's not talking about Truma itself. So, V'lav mi'melech shamas mi'naz, we turn to the Amud Beis, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If the Jewish people are like Truma, and the description of the Jewish people is Kodesh LaHashem, just like Truma, well. If the Jewish people are like Truma, and in describing the Jewish people, it's Kodesh LaHashem, well, wouldn't that also describe Truma as well, being Kodesh LaHashem? So, Tirgama Rav in Sava Kameh Derav, Amakra, who they have Yasser Yehei. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're on a bit of a chase over here, and the Gemara explains in the name of Ravin, in front of Rav, and that is that we're really focusing on the wrong word. Don't focus on Kodesh. Don't focus on La Hashem, but rather it's the word who. Back in that parsha in Bechu Kosai, when describing Meister Sheni. It's who. It will be in its perpetual state, meaning that it is in a constant state of Kedusha. Okay. Behav Yasso Yehei. Okay. Sorry for the pause. Let's do just a little bit more. Uvehekdesh. Bemeza Kiddush Meshoge Lo Kiddush. Every Bemei Rav Yehuda Omer Meshoge Kiddush Bemeza Lo Kiddush. You know what? Change my mind one more time. We'll save this for our next year. Okay. In other words, we're going to get into the discussion of Meila and being Mol Behektation. Really, it's a new topic, so we'll. And tomorrow's daf is not particularly long. Okay, good. So we'll save this for tomorrow. All right, Adkan. So let's quickly recap. Let's review. We started with the Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Beis. We went through being Mekadesh with basically three different topics that were discussed. Number one, chelek. Kohen is given a portion of karbanos, whether it be kachim kachim, whether it be kachim kalim. So he's given an allocation of the kachim kalim. What is he receiving? The meat of a chatas, the meat of an asham, chatas ha'of, right? Mincha also falls under the category of kachim kadashim. Or, if you want to talk about kachim kalim, so the kohen's going to be receiving chazei v'shok of all karban shlamim. In any event, can a kohen now take it instead of eating it, give it to a woman and say, I want to be mekadesh with you with my chelek? Does that work? So the answer is no. Okay. And I know what I did is I just took a lot of Gemara and it took me one word to summarize. Well, I'm exaggerating, but it's really easy to summarize. The answer is no. Now that was a long no because Rav Yehuda at one point in his life said yes. Rav Yehuda recanted, machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan, whether Rav Yehuda did recant or he didn't recant, and that occupied a lot of real estate in today's daf, but the answer is no. In other words, the kohen cannot be mekadesh. Why? It's not his. He's not the owner of it. He has the right to eat it, but that's it. That was topic number one. Topic number two today, Meister Sheni. So can a kohen be mekadesh with Meister Sheni? I said kohen. Immediately what I want to do is I want to take it back. I didn't mean Cohen. Can the owner be Mekash with Meister Sheni? Meister Sheni, which he is now going to take off, that second 10%, go to Yerushalayim, eat in Yerushalayim. Instead, can he give it to a woman and say, I want to be Mekash with you? According to Rav Meir, no. Why? Because according to Rav Meir, it's not yours. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have the right to eat it, but that's it. And therefore, according to Rav Meir, the Kedushin does not take effect. Okay, and what we also did in today's daf is we cited the psukim that support this viewpoint of Rav Meir. That also took a little bit of real estate because at first the Gemara thought it was a certain string of words in the pasuk in Bechukosai, and then the Gemara moved off from that. The Gemara said it's really coming from the word who, which means that that Maaser Sheni is always going to be in the same state and does not move from being Kodesh Lashem, and therefore it does not belong to you. You have the right to eat it, but that's it. At Kan tomorrow we start with Mi'ilah.